Jesus as we bring God's word. And for those who don't believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today, they will for the first time trust him and receive him as their saviour. So let's close our eyes and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege of being in God's house today. And for so many boys and girls who have been taught under the sound of the word of God, we thank you for the knowledge that has been put into their hearts. And we pray, O Lord, that they'll not just know facts about the Saviour, but they'll come to know him in a personal relationship. And we pray, Lord, that you'll give each teacher the wisdom, Lord, and the years that lie ahead in thy will as they would teach, Lord, and give them, Lord, ability to break the bread of life to boys and girls. We pray especially this morning as God's word goes forth, Lord, that you'll speak to boys and girls, mums and dads, others gathered in this service, especially those who are not saved. Lord, speak to their hearts. Draw them unto thyself, we pray. And Lord, may this be a wonderful day in this congregation because people have trusted the Saviour. We're looking to thee, Lord, because thou alone can work in hearts, thou alone can change lives. Therefore, come into this meeting and have full control, we pray, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, he used many parables, he used illustrations to tell people about the gospel. And I'm going to use some illustrations this morning to tell you about the gospel, something that you're all going to be very familiar with, something that some of you will love, something that some of you may actually not like very much at all, but I would imagine that most of the people who took part this morning are involved in, and that is school. Who goes to school? Excellent. We're going to think of some things about school this morning. And whenever you get up tomorrow morning to get changed for school, get ready for school, to get your school bag and go into school, I hope you remember some of the lessons that we have learned. Now, the first thing I want to teach you this morning about school is the importance. Yeah, that'd be great. The importance of something that you need before you go. And it is a uniform. Now, most schools have a uniform here in Northern Ireland, and you have to wear it. Now, I'm going to show you the uniform that I wore for 7 years, many years ago. This is it, okay? So I went to this school. It was called Rainey, and the reason you had to wear a uniform with a badge was that people knew what school you belonged to and who your teachers were. And certainly if you went on a school trip, you were easily identified. Now, I'm going to see if it still fits me. It was a few years ago, so we'll see if it still fits me. Mr. Wilson's going to bring his next week. There we go. Just, oh, does. Happy days. I must have lost a wee bit of weight there. Okay, good. Right, so this tells me what my school was, who my teachers were, and it shows the place to which I belong. And you know what this reminds me, this uniform reminds me, and there's one other part of a uniform I have here as well. I wore this for 4 years. Anybody know where this is? And it's not like British Airways, Air Steward or anything. Anybody know where this is? Yes? Well, yes, it's tie, but from what school or from what college? Bible College, yes. Mr. Wilson also wore that for 4 years, and we loved wearing it. It was great. Now, this reminds us that we have a master or teachers, and the Bible tells us that there's only two masters in this world. Two people who teach us, two people to whom we belong. We either belong to the Saviour, he's our Lord and our Master, he's our teacher, or we belong to Satan. And if you're not saved this morning, the Bible says that he is your master. Satan is your master. But if you're a Christian, then you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And people should know by looking at you who is your master and which you belong to. Now, the second thing you need in school, although some people would debate this, is ruler. Now, I used to teach, and I taught P3 and P4 for some years, and every time you opened a book and gave a lesson, you said, right, write the date at the top and rule a line. And some children did this, hope you don't do this, they put their hand down like this and ruled the line. So when they brought the book up to me, I said, did you use a ruler? And they said, uh-huh. And you know they didn't, because a ruler is straight. And you know for sure when somebody has used a ruler. And you also use a ruler to measure things, okay? So if you want to measure distances or how long something is, you use a ruler. And the Bible teaches us that this reminds us about the law of God. Because there's something that God uses to measure our lives. And God doesn't use other people to measure our lives. And God doesn't use what we think is good and bad to measure our lives. But God uses his law.
or his word, or the Bible. And we heard the Ten Commandments and we read them a few moments ago, and that is the standard that God uses. And the Bible tells us whenever God measures our lives as sinners, we all come short. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're born as sinners, and therefore as sinners, our lives fall short of God's standard of what pleases God because we're sinful. And whenever you take that ruler at school tomorrow to rule your line, you remember that God has a ruler. God has a measurement, and it is his word, his son, and we don't come up to that measurement being born in sin. Now, not only do we need a ruler, but we also need something to write with. Now, this is a massive one, which I'm sure you don't use, but this is a pen. Or you use a pencil, and you use that to make a record of your work. Well, that's the idea anyway. You're supposed to write down the things that you're doing, and then you can look back when you're revising for your exams and see the work that has been done. So a record has been made. And you know what this reminds me of? That God also makes a record. God makes a record of our lives. There's a little verse in the Bible in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, in the days when Noah lived, and the Bible says, "And God saw." And you know, boys and girls, sometimes you might do something that you know is wrong, but mom hasn't seen it, or dad, or granny, or granda, or your brother or sister, or your teacher. And you think, nobody knows about that. God knows. And there's some adults, and they live their life, and they think, well, nobody knows what I do, or where I go, or what I say, or what I watch, or what I listen to, but God does. In fact, the Bible says that the Lord has written that record with a pen of iron, and with the edge of a diamond. In other words, it's a record that we can't take away. There's a record of your life in heaven. There's a record of my life in heaven. And one day we'll stand before God, and we will have to hear that record being read out. And boys and girls, if you stand as a sinner, moms and dads, if you stand as a sinner, you'll hear the record of your sin. And that's something we don't want, because that reminds us that there's a punishment for sin. So here's something else that you might recognize from school, maybe the older ones more so. Now, put your hand up if you ever were in detention. Wow, you have a very good congregation. Or not an honest one, but however. Detention, that's a punishment for doing something wrong. And maybe you didn't do your homework. Maybe you got into a fight in the playground and you come in and teach you, right, you're in detention, or you have extra work to do, or you're missing your break time for the rest of the week. Something that is a punishment for the wrong that you've done. Well, the Bible tells us that there is a punishment for sin, and sin must be punished. You can't live your life sinning against God and then expect God to forget about your sin and to let you into heaven. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And that doesn't mean just dying physically, because we all will die someday, but it means dying spiritually. In other words, that our soul, the part of us that lives on after we die, won't go to heaven, but it will go to hell, and it will be there for all eternity. Now, boys and girls, mums and dads, nobody wants to go to hell. But the Bible tells us that's where you're going. That's the punishment that you face if you're not a Christian. If you're not saved this morning, that's the punishment that God has waiting for you the moment you die. But there's a wonderful verse in the Bible, and it's one of my favorite verses, and it tells us that the Lord Jesus loved us so much that he took the punishment for our sin. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just," and that means the perfect, the good one, "for the unjust," me and you, "that he might bring us to God." Now, you know what a substitute is. Substitute on a football pitch, whenever one of the players takes on well or has to be pulled off, someone takes his place, and that's called a substitute. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the sinner's substitute. He took our punishment. He suffered for our sins. And when the Lord Jesus hung on the cross, he suffered for my sin, and he bore the punishment for my sin. He died for me, and he died in my place. And because of that, I can be saved. Because of that, you can be saved today. There is a Savior who took the punishment for your sin. And the wonderful thing is this, He will bring us to God. If we come and confess our sin before the Lord, turn away from our sin and repentance, and ask the Lord to save us, he will do that. I was 7 years old when I became a Christian. I was in hospital for some time. I had to go through an operation, and at that time, I was in the children's ward. And one night, they turned the lights out in the children's ward about 9:30, 9:45, and we were supposed to go to sleep. And usually, most nights, I went to sleep straight away. But this night, I couldn't sleep. This night, something was bothering me. I had heard that somebody had died in the hospital that day, and that really annoyed me. And I just thought to myself, well, what if I died? I knew at 7 years old, I wasn't ready to be saved, or wasn't ready to die. I wasn't a Christian, and that I was going to that awful place called hell. And boys and girls, that night, you know what I did? I asked the Lord to save me. I had been to Sunday school like you. I've been to children's meeting like you. And my Sunday school teachers and children's meeting workers told me about the Savior. My minister had taught me about the Savior, and I knew how to be saved. And I prayed that night, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, take away my sin, and take me to live with you in heaven when I die. And you know what happened that night? The Lord saved me. The Lord took away my sin. I became a Christian, and I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven not because I went to Bible college, not because I'm a minister, but because when I was 7 years old, I asked the Lord to save me. When's the best time to ask the Lord to save you? Well, the Bible says now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now, just a few more things. Here is something else you need in school. Rubber. Okay? Really big rubber for really big mistakes. And sometimes, if somebody came up and did something wrong on the page, I would have gone like this and rubbed it out and made them do it again. They weren't very happy with me, but they had to do it again. But this rubbed out the record of their work, and they had a blank page. And the Bible tells me in Isaiah that the Lord Jesus blots out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sin. In other words, the Lord takes that record of sin, and because you're saved, and because you're washed in the precious blood, that record is rubbed out. And there's no sin under your name. You see, I'm not worried about meeting God when I die, because that record of sin has been taken away. I'm a Christian. The Lord Jesus suffered for my sin, and that sin is no longer to my account. And boys and girls, mums and dads, you can go home this morning with a clean account. No sin. No record of you as a sinner in heaven. Just a record of you as a Christian, as a child of God, through asking the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And very quickly, there's a few things that are important for us to know as we just bring our wee time to a close. When you become a Christian, some things change. Some things change. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's different from what he was before. Here's some of the things that change our language. Now, when we were at school, we had to learn to read. Anybody remember books like this? Learning to read through these books. Well, these books taught us how to read and how to speak. And that reminds me that our language and our speech as Christians must be different from the world. We're not to use the name of the Lord Jesus as a swear word. We're not to use our lips and our language to be nasty or to say hurtful things. You read the Bible and it tells us to guard our tongue, to control our tongue, to speak about the Lord, to speak kind things, to speak true things. To encourage others, to invite others to meetings, things like that. We are to use our language, our tongues, for the Lord. Something else. Now, I absolutely detest these. And if you want to have a nightmare of a day, you have 25 of these blowing in the middle of a classroom. Some people call them instruments. I call them pieces of plastic with a hole in it, or holes in it. A recorder. And maybe you love playing the recorder. Continue on. But this reminds me that our music, our activities, and the things that we do ought to be different from the world as well. See, boys and girls, when you get saved, you ought to use your eyes, your ears for the Lord. You ought not to be listening to the music of the world. Because often the music of the world speaks about sinful things. Things that the Lord does not like. Things that the Lord speaks against. And it speaks about those things. And I don't understand why Christians would want to listen to music about sin. I remember a boy getting saved at a camp I took many years ago. And I started to see on his Facebook page the things he was listening to. And boys and girls, it wasn't gospel music. And it wasn't godly music. And I knew there was something wrong. And it wasn't very long after he started putting that type of music up that he was listening to that he backslid very badly. Still in the world today. You see, the things of the world take you away from God. And you need to be careful what you read, what you watch, what you listen to. Because those things will either bring you closer to the Lord or they'll take you further away from the Lord. So boys and girls, remember, be careful. Grown-ups, be careful about what you listen to, what you watch. Because those things affect our heart. Here's another thing. School. PE top for running. And the Bible tells us that there is a way to live the Christian life, and it is to run it. But there's a way to run the race. There's a way to make progress as a Christian. And it says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, we're to run the race with patience, or run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And what's that teach us? That teaches us that as Christians, to grow strong, to live for the Lord, we must look to Jesus. What's that mean? It means that we must read the Word of God. It means that we must pray. It means that we must be in contact with the Savior. And in doing so, we'll make progress in the race. Maybe there's a person here today, maybe a grown-up, and you're cold today. Maybe you used to go to prayer meeting, you used to go to church every Sunday, and now you're far away from the Lord because you failed to look at the Savior. We'll look again to him this morning. Look at him afresh. Come back to the Lord, the one who loved you and gave himself for you. Here's something else we use in school. Sharpener. This is just a regular size one. I couldn't get a big one of these. But this is a sharpener. You think, why has he got a sharpener here? Well, there's a little verse in Scripture. As iron sharpeneth iron, so a friend sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. What's that teach us? We need to be careful about the friends we have when we're Christians. Because those friends will influence us. And somebody once said, if you want to see the person you'll be in 2 or 3 years' time, look at the friends and the people you're hanging about with. Because you become like your friends. And if you have godly friends, that will help you become a godly person. If you have wicked friends, sinful friends, ungodly friends, you will become like your friends. Now, of course, we're friendly to everyone. We're kind to everyone. But close personal friends, those special friends that you have, they will help you or they will hinder you. And you know, whenever I was going to high school, leaving the primary school, I was in a little primary school, there was 8 people in my class. And I was going to this school where there's over 700 people. I didn't know anybody. And I went that summer into the high school and I prayed all summer, Lord, give me a Christian friend. Lord, give me a Christian friend. And that first morning in September, my first morning in high school, I went and sat down in the gym on the bench waiting to be put into my class. And this other fella came and sat down beside me and introduced himself. And you know, out of 100 people in our year, he was the only other Christian boy. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord gave me a Christian friend. And he's still my friend today. In fact, that's who I was in holidays with just there last week. And he has been a godly influence in my life. And God has given me good Christian friends. And that's so important. So maybe you're going to high school. You pray the Lord will give you a good Christian friend. And he'll answer that prayer. My very final one is this. When you go to school, certainly when I was there a few years ago, there was always a roll call. And the teacher came in, called your name. Is Adam here? And Adam said, present. Or if Adam wasn't here, the other people would have said, absent. And this was a record of who belonged to that class. Now, you just can't go to any school you want to and walk into any class you want to tomorrow and just sit down and be part of that class. You can only be in the class where your name is recorded as being in attendance or on the roll. So it reminds us that in the Bible, we're told about a rule book in heaven. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And it really is exactly like your rule book in school. It tells us who belongs there. And the list of names in the Lamb's Book of Life is a list of those who have asked the Lord to be their Savior. Those who are Christians. My name was written on it in October 1989 when I got saved. If you're a Christian, your name's there. And whenever you die, you'll be received into heaven. Your name will be called because your name is recorded in this book. But if you've never been saved, if you've never been a Christian, if you never asked the Lord to save you, your name's not in this book. You might have gone to church all your life, but your name's not here. You might be baptized or confirmed or christened. You might attend Sunday school. You might give money to the church. But if you have never been saved, that's the criteria. If you've never been saved, then your name's not in this book. But the wonderful news this morning is this: your name can be on this book. In a moment, your name can be written down in heaven. Your sins can be forgiven. Your future can be sure. And you say, well, how can I be sure this morning that my name is written in heaven? How can I be sure the record of my sin is washed away? How can I be sure that when God looks at me, he sees me and he accepts me and he will let me come into heaven? Well, here's how. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. You don't have to be a certain age or a certain type of person, but you can be old or young, maybe a good person, a bad person, maybe a religious person, a person who's never been to church before. It doesn't matter. Here's what the Bible says. If you call on the Lord in prayer, he will save you. He'll save you right now. You can sit in your seat, bow your head, and pray, Lord Jesus, save me now. And thank God he'll do that. Or maybe you'd like to speak to your Sunday school teacher, your minister, myself. We would love to show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Boys and girls, moms and dads, there's nothing more important. Nothing more important than knowing for sure you're saved. And I trust and pray that you'll not leave the house of God this morning without knowing that you're saved. Final verse, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Be saved today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.